Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
In just under 1 month, I'm getting together with a bunch of old seminary buddies in the state of Massachusetts, in the city of Boston, and we're gathering together, not necessarily to kind of go over some theology or pray together, even though I'm sure some of that will happen. We are gathering together to continue this lovely tradition. In fact, it's our 19th annual fantasy football draft. It's a big deal. 19 years of fantasy football. Now, in a lot of circles, we are exalted and lauded for our consistency, for our dedication, for our loyalty to the craft. We are admired by youngins, old alike, because it's that cool. Now, in other circles, like my wife's, we're mocked, we're ridiculed, we are the butt of all jokes. And it's not the same as, like, hey, this is great, this is silly. Now, why? Because occasionally, us mental athletes, as we're talking about our teams, will say, my team did this, and thus I did this. Occasionally, you'll even hear, I ran for 300 yards this weekend. I caught 7 touchdown passes this weekend. Now, that's silly because I did none of that, right? And it's not even that I am really a part of the team in any fashion. It's all because the reason a lot of people give me grief about this will be because the game I'm playing starts with the word fantasy. It's not real. It's make-believe, right? It's all pretend. It's a child's game, so to speak. And it got me thinking about Christianity today. So I think we have way too many Christians in the fantasy world. Not that evangelism is a sport or a game, but in a very similar fashion, we have a lot of Christians who believe that it's just up to the professional to really do the job. Now, we can cheer on the professional. We can even say, atta boy, atta girl, to the staff or to the pastor. And we can cheer on the team in that way, and there's nothing wrong with that. But where we are in error, if we feel like it's only the professional's job to share their faith. Because we all have that responsibility. We all have that call. When we don't feel like it's our job, there's no urgency. There's no priority. You feel like this isn't my responsibility. And I'll just say, you're wrong. We all have a calling upon our lives to lead people to faith in Christ. Every single one of us. You and I, we all have that calling to lead people to faith in Jesus. And honestly, it shouldn't even have to be said today. We shouldn't even have to preach on this. I feel like it should be more natural to share our faith than unnatural. If you've been changed and you've been impacted by the power of Jesus Christ, I believe there should be this natural inclination to tell others what has transpired. Think about it this way. If you, without a doubt, 100% knew, I'm talking about fact checked and all, that you had the cure for COVID, do you think you would need someone to say, hey, you probably ought to tell people? Do you think you would need someone to give you that encouragement? No. If you knew, without a doubt, that you had the cure, you're going to tell people. In fact, some of you a year ago were telling people the wrong way to be cured of COVID. You're telling people to drink UV x-ray light something or others, okay? And it's just all over, right? You're telling people this is how you, but if you knew and it was for sure this is the answer, you're probably not going to need people to prompt you to say, hey, why don't you tell people? You're going to tell people. And so we're in this series called Shaped, and each letter represents a characteristic of being shaped into the image of Jesus, about what it really means to be a disciple. In fact, when we were planning Everyday Church, and even Jeff at the beginning, we're like, what does a disciple look like? And we came up with this acrostic to signify, okay, if we could embrace each of these letters and what they represent, we're going to look a whole lot like Jesus. And so the S is studies the Word of God. Okay, if you're going to be shaped into the image of Jesus, you're going to need to know what the Word of God says. Jesus quoted Scripture. Jesus spoke truth. Okay, and we've already gone through all these. You can check out the podcast. You can go back on Facebook. Catch up with us. H is hangs with other believers or hangs with believers. It's important to have community, and we unpacked what biblical community is. And then A is abides with Christ, specifically in prayer and fasting. Now, I'm saying these quickly, and some of you are trying to jot it down. If you haven't recorded those, write them down. Okay, studies the Word of God, hangs with other believers. A is abides with Christ in prayer and fasting. The P is provides for the needs of others. We should be marked by generosity. And all of these represent Jesus, but they all go back to the first church. And we'll talk about that in just a second. In Acts chapter 2, we've unpacked that passage about the very first church. As a church, we gave out money that Sunday, and I still only heard from a handful of people how God prompted you to use that money to bless someone else and provide for someone else. Please let me know that. I want to hear that story. If you're sitting on it, there's a couple stories in the Bible that would warn you about that, okay? Use that for the needs of others. Provide for someone. We gave that to you for a purpose, okay? And if God just hasn't put it on your heart yet, that's great. But let me know when he does. We want to celebrate with you and how he uses that money. Then E is exalts the Lord. Now, we're to do that with our lives. We are to offer our body as a living sacrifice. But even though that's the main vehicle, there's other little vehicles that also worship the Lord, musical worship being my favorite. We talked really about musical worship last week. Well, today we get to the D in shaped, which is delivers the gospel. As a believer, if we're going to be shaped into the image, we're going to bring the good news. We're going to deliver the gospel, which is a proclamation. We're not just going to hug people and say, that's it. We're going to hug and say, man, Jesus loves you. Okay, he died for you. And we're going to kind of get more into the gospel and what that is. But we need to deliver it. As a Christian, we have a responsibility to get that message out. The message that Jesus saves, bro, right? Jesus saves. There's a dying world out there that needs to know about a cure. And that's a big C, cure. And it's Christ. And we have the responsibility, and we need to let people know your sins can be forgiven. You can be changed. There's a world full of people that need to know that their present and future can be impacted in a very positive way, that their life can be changed, their life can be redeemed, that God can take that bad and turn it to good. And so in the first church, we've looked at all these characteristics. I'm just going to read Acts 2:47 real quick. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. This is what the first church was experiencing. This is wrapping up all of these characteristics. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Their lives were being pulled out from the grip of hell and placed into the kingdom of God. They were being saved. Every day, people are being saved. They're being added to their fellowship, which is their faith family, their church. And so for people to be added to our church, our fellowship, it means we need to be people delivering the gospel so they know they can be saved and how to be saved. Now, do we save them? No. Who added to their fellowship? The Lord. But the Lord wants us to deliver the message. And so we need to overcome any fear. And we need to start being fueled by a desire to see people cross over from death to life and to a real relationship with the one true God. And as we deliver, we trust him with the results because he's got to add the number. He's got to add them to our fellowship. But it's going to come through us demonstrating all of these characteristics. And a big portion of that is having the guts to say, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. Now, if you do have a Bible today, I want you to find the book of Matthew. In Matthew, we're going to unpack this story. Matthew chapter 13. This is a parable. Okay, you guys know that Jesus is going to make up an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. That's kind of the easy way to remember what a parable is. But he's using a practical illustration in the lives of the people around him to teach them a great spiritual truth. And so we're going to try to unpack it today so we understand their context and what it's about and not get confused. But this parable teaches us what happens when we deliver the gospel. So we're in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to start at verse 3. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on a shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Verse 8, still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Okay, so if Jesus says it, we should listen and understand. Let's really try to dive in here. Now, this parable is in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. And when I read my one-year Bible, I actually get kind of tired of this parable. And I have to check my spirit sometimes when I'm going, here it is again. I don't know why this is here. And it wasn't until I really dove into this passage that it became revolutionary in my own personal life. And so when Jesus says, listen and understand, let's give this our full attention. To understand it properly, we can't think through a modern lens. We can't think of modern-day farming because that's not the illustration here. That's not what this story represents, okay? In Jesus' day, they didn't have the old tractor, right? So when they're spreading seed, this is not the image that we should be picking. This is more the professional doing the work, right? We're not all farmers, are we? You might know a farmer. You might have a little garden box at the house, but we're talking about now it's become a profession, right? I mean, it used to be more a way of a life. Now it's like very specific in genre, and people have this modern technology. That's not what it is. It's not even one of these that maybe you've used before, more for the common person, just the old push spreader. I've used one of those. You know, you weed and feed, or you weed and seed, and you can get you get your yard that way. In the New Testament, the farmer looked more like this. We couldn't get a real picture, by the way. They didn't have cameras back then, so we had to have a cartoonist kind of give us what the idea would be in case you were wondering. Like, oh, there were cartoons back then. That's cool. All right, so you would have a bag, satchel, and it was by hand. You'd have a bag of seed, and by hand the farmer would sow the seed. This is the sower, is another name for it. Not like S-E-W, but S-O-W, a sower of seed. And they would farm by casting seed with the hand in the bag and tossing it out. Now, it's typically not a big farm. Maybe we would think of in our modern day mind. It was more like a big front yard. But they would use the bag and their hands. They would walk it and cast the seed. Now, who's the farmer in this story? You could say Jesus. But that's not what he says. You know, in the vine story, he tells us specifically who God is, who he is. And here it's more generic. It's the disciples. He's talking to the disciples, but he's talking to a lot of people. And this is just one of the parables he would use to teach. Honestly, it's me and you too. It's not just them. It's us. We're the farmer. Okay? We are the farmer in the story. You're the farmer. I'm the Dell. The farmer and the... Sometimes things come to my brain and they don't make sense. What's the seed? I think that one is pretty obvious. It's the gospel. It's the message of Jesus. Now, Jesus mentions that as the farmer scatters the seed, there's 4 different types of soil the seed can find. Now, what's the soil? The soil is the heart, the soul of the hearer or receiver of the seed. This is important. Because we overlook the soil a lot. We look at the farmer, we look at the seed, but this is very specifically that there's this soil, and it's the heart, it's the soul of the hearer or receiver of the seed. What's the seed? The word of God, the message of Jesus Christ. Now, the first soil he mentions is a footpath. That's the first soil. There's this seed that's thrown on a footpath. Now, we're not talking about a sidewalk. We're not talking about concrete. Okay, in this day, there is typically in between fields, you'd have like a walking path that would be used. And so the ground would kind of be stamped down in these places. And the farmer, though, would still spread the seed just in hopes or a chance that there could be growth, there could be fruit, that the seed would produce. It didn't stop the sower. The sower still cast the seed, even among the footpath. He also mentions a rocky soil. In Israel, there's lots of rocks. I've never been there. I've had friends that go there. I've seen pictures. And many places of Israel is extremely rocky. Now, again, in this time frame of life, there's no heavy-duty tiller to break up the rock. The sower just had to deal with it. There's rocks. Okay, we're just going to have to deal with it. It's there, but there's good there. But there's rocks there. And so I'm just going to scatter seed, hoping that the seed's going to find the place to go. The other soil, thorns, right? There's thorny soil. In Israel, there's dozens of thorny plant species. And these thorny plants compete hard for nutrients from the soil and will end up a lot of times choking out the life of the seed as it competes for nutrients to survive. There's not a whole lot of water in the Middle East. That's why you would read in Scripture about wells and cisterns. And so this thorny soil would compete for water and a lot of times choke out the life of the seed. But what did the farmer do? He said, all right, I just got to trust in the Lord. I'm going to keep sowing seed, hoping that life could be produced. Now, the farmer does all of that because of the last soil mentioned. You saw it. Jesus says there's a fertile soil out there. There's good soil. There's soil that will take the seed, and it will be fed. That seed will be fed, and a crop will be produced, and even up to 100 times as much as planted. Now, what's the point of all that? Now, here's the cool thing about this parable, because we don't see this in all parables. Jesus taught in a lot of parables, and he doesn't always tell us exactly what it means, but Jesus gives us some specific insight. Look at verse 18. He tells the disciples, hey, you want to know what it is? This is what this means. Verse 18. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. They didn't really quite grasp it. Not a lot of depth there. Didn't quite see it. The evil one says, no, you ain't going to believe that. I'm going to get you distracted. I'm going to take this away. Verse 20, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message immediately, receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. There's some hardness out there. Nah, I didn't really want to be about this life. Verse 22, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. There's a lot of competition for the nutrients. And your eye is caught on wealth and the stresses of life, the wrong thing, and there's no fruit that's produced. Verse 23, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Now, don't miss this today. Okay, what's all the point here? This is what Jesus wants you to know. Don't try to determine each person's soil before you scatter the seed. That ain't up to you. Don't try to figure out what each person's soil is before you scatter the seed. That's not the point. If that was the point, Jesus would have concluded, now be careful. Only scatter to good soil. That would have how he would have summed that up. It's not about that. Jesus isn't saying find the good soil and only scatter there. It's just scatter. But understand, as you scatter, there's different types of soil. The farmer's job is to scatter the seed. That's it. Who's the farmer? You. Me. What's your job? Scatter seed. Sow seed. However you want to put it. Toss seed. Throw seed. Get the seed out there. It's not figuring out what the soil is. And I believe, listen, if we can grasp this, it will change the course of our lives. The farmer doesn't determine whether you have a good crop or not. The soil does. It's not on you. You might share and scatter seed and find rocky, thorny footpath many, 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 many times. That ain't up to you. That ain't your job. It's not my job. Just scatter the seed faithfully. Sow it. Toss it. God deals with the soil. That's his job. That's his business, not your business. It's his business. You could think about it this way. Did every seed produce a crop that that farmer scattered? Did every seed produce a crop? No. No. We just saw very clearly not every seed that that farmer threw out produced crops. So did the farmer really care about the condition of the soil? Not really. That was not the farmer's job. He didn't stop scattering because, well, there's potential danger here. I can't share Jesus here because this person's this way. Or just to use the illustration, there's rocks here. There's thorns here. There's a footpath here. I can't do this. No, that did not stop the farmer. Why are you playing all these excuses in your mind? That ain't your job. Quit trying to determine for them. Let them be a big boy or big girl. And let God deal with that soil. Scatter the seed, though. Then it's got no chance if you don't scatter the seed. It's got zero chance if it's in the bag, y'all. Right? It's only got a chance if it's out of the bag. The farmer just kept scattering. Why? It's not the presentation of the messenger or the message that determines the results. It's the preparation of the soil. You got to trust God with the work. It's not about the message. It's not about how you present it. It's about the soil and how prepared it is. Now, I'm going to say this over and over again in ways that hopefully will stick with you because I want to free you today. I want to free you from the lock of staying in the gospel closet. It's time to be public with our faith. And we need to quit worrying about what people think and how they're going to receive it. That's not up to us. Our job is to sow. God's job is to take on the condition of the hearer's heart. I know some of you are genuinely afraid to share. You know when you share what mostly happens? When you share, what mostly happens is the seed finds soil. And that's a positive thing. The seed's going to find soil if you sow it. Most of the time, the soil doesn't just immediately spit it back up and say, get away with me from this, get this seed away from me. That's not what happens, but boy, you think that's what happens. Some of you are so afraid the soil is going to rise up and throw the thorns at you. Some of you know about like Old Testament and even New Testament stoning. Okay, Mason, we're going to talk about drugs. Okay, we're talking about rocks. They would throw rocks. And so you think the soil is going to throw some rocks. That's what you're so afraid of on the soil. Most of the time, high likelihood. I wish I could throw a percentage on it, but I can tell you in my own life, it's in the 90th percentile. Most of the time, the seed's just going to find soil. The soil's not going to spit it back up immediately on me and say, get away from me, here's my thorns. That doesn't happen. Very rarely, but you're so scared of it. But if you could just share the gospel, get the message out there, let God do the rest. If you do that, can I tell you something? That's a good situation. That's a positive situation. Now, what if by chance it actually finds some good soil and it sticks? Is that a good situation? Yes. Are we talking about, these are both good situations. See, don't equate like, this soil heard the gospel and they didn't give their life to Jesus. That was not a good situation. No. You got it wrong. It was a great situation. You did your part. You were the farmer. It's not your job to see them give their life to Christ. As far as you can't make that happen. And so you did your part. Way to be obedient, my good and faithful servant. Way to step into your calling. I celebrate you. I shared this week with someone. They didn't give their life to Christ, but it was good. It was a good thing. It was a great thing. And if they do, hallelujah, praise the Lord, that's a great thing too. But God did that work. Now let's just say that soil throws the thorns at you, throws the rocks at you. And you're like, man, that was toxic soil. Every once in a while, there could be toxic soil. Is that a bad situation? That's a trick question, right? Thank you, Macy. It's not. It's not a bad situation. You know why? Because of 1 Peter 4:14. If you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed. Does that sound like a bad situation? For the glorious Spirit of God rest upon. We just talked about rest on us. Is that a bad situation to have God rest on you? No. So even if by chance you get the toxic soil, you got some Texas soil, I'm just kidding, and you get the thorns, you get the rocks. Sorry, Carly, I know you look at me, you shake your head, you give me the face palm emoji in your brain, I see it. It's a good situation, even if someone says, get away from me, you Jesus freak. It's good, because the Bible says, if you're insulted because you got the name of Jesus on you, you're going to be blessed, and God's Spirit's going to rest on you in a special, unique way. Hold up, that's a good situation. So don't quit taking all this stuff personal. Just be the farmer. Scatter the seed. God isn't asking you to go after perfect soil. That's not what he's asking you to do. He's just saying, sow it. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. After all, who is Apollos? Who's Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it. But it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Our job isn't to make the seed grow. We can't do it. Only God can. I took a group of people out one time. We just went door to door sharing our faith. And one girl came back. John, I saved someone. You didn't really save them, but you don't want to, you know, downplay that. It's like, man, praise the Lord, God used you. Because guess what? You do play a big role. But it's God who ultimately does the saving. But we have a role to play. We have a calling. We are to step into obedience and sow the seed. That's our responsibility. Leave the results up to God. And when you do that, I think you become less like a salesman. You become less sales pitchy. What are you trying to meet a quota? No. Are we trying to get salesman of the month? No. We're just trying to be faithful and obedient. If you can talk someone into Jesus, you can talk them out of it. And that's not what we're going for, right? Hey, we've got a bright, shiny Jesus right here. Yeah, 30% off. Come to Jesus. That's not what we just, hey, listen, my life changed. I've been forgiven of all my sin. Listen, there's a lot of positive to point to, but we don't have to sell Jesus. We just sow the seed and let him take care of the rest. See, a polished presentation isn't the key. It's not about your presentation. It's a heart ready to receive. So don't get so caught up in how you're sowing the seed. Some of your techniques are going to be a little bit higher. Some of you are going to be a little lower. Some of you are going to be a little spready. It's just we're not always going to have the same exact approach. But it's not about our presentation. It's about the message. The message is good. Just get the message out there. So what should you say? Listen, it could be a lot of things. But let me just, as a church, we've been trying to help you. And just recently, we introduced a new technique in sharing your faith. Let's throw this picture up here. Nick, thank you. What do we call this? Anyone? Okay, some of you are brand new. All right, these are three circles. There's some confusing here because there's some other things here, but this is the three-circle model. You could easily take a napkin, a piece of paper, a note on an iPad, and draw this out and share the faith. You can literally start in any of these circles, but I'll say circle one is God's design. And you want to talk about how God created everything. But he created everything with a purpose. And we sense that there's more to life, that we have a purpose to life. If life's purpose is just to eat, drink, and be merry here on earth, boy, we all going to miss that purpose, right? Because life can be tough. But God has a purpose. In fact, what it says in Ecclesiastes, he's put eternity in our heart. We know there's something more, that God created all of this. There is an intelligent designer, and it is God. A lot of times when I'm talking to an agnostic, not an atheist, but an agnostic who says there is probably a higher power, I say, you know, I went on that journey for me and I found out it's the one true God of the Bible. And knowing that he created all of this and he created me and he created with me with a purpose. In fact, even though we screwed this up, his whole story is about redemption, and one day he's going to fulfill that purpose and we're going to have this place called heaven and we're going to be back to God's original design. That's really what the whole point of the Bible is. But what happens is that we leave God's design, and we do that through sin. Even though God has a purpose and he created me for a purpose, there was a time that I chose my own way and said, God, I think I can do it better. God, I think my way is a little bit better than your way. And I don't trust God's purposes, and I don't trust his design, even though deep down I know there's some things that I did that were wrong and went against God's heart. And that could even be not as a believer. You just know, like, there's a standard out there, and it's God's design, and I missed that standard, and I screwed up. And so we sin, whatever that may be. We did our own thing. And what does sin lead to? I can promise you this. It leads to brokenness. There is this separation that takes place from God because of our sin, and we feel it, we know it. We think we even owe God something. Sometimes we'll screw up through the week and think, man, I better go worship the Lord on Sunday or go to a church service because I screwed up. There's this debt that's been created, and we think we owe God something. Even non-Christians, they just know, like, man, I screwed up. There's a brokenness here. And it's played out in different ways. Divorce, sickness, our world is... There's enough brokenness to see. COVID. Our world is not perfect. It's easy to point to the brokenness of our world. In fact, creation longs for the return of Christ because it's a broken world. We live in a fallen world. And so we try to fix our brokenness. Now, if we would just go, you can kind of see the way we need to go, but a lot of times these squiggly arrows, you could actually write that out and say, you know, we try drugs and alcohol. We try to fulfill that hole in our heart through narcotics, through different things like that, just to try and ease the pain or numb the hurt. We'll try bad relationships, unhealthy relationship after another, trying to heal that brokenness. We'll try wealth. We'll try to accumulate as much material things, thinking that will heal our brokenness, but it ultimately doesn't. We'll even try religion. Not a real relationship with God. We'll try to do enough holy things to make ourselves okay with God, to overcome. My good better outweigh my bad. Listen, none of those lead the right way. And draw them out. Talk it out verbally. But if we would just turn and trust, we would turn from our sin and trust in Jesus. We're on our way back to God's design, to what he longs for, wholeness with God. But the only way we're going to have that wholeness with God is if we turn to Jesus. Because what we find out in Scripture is that Jesus lived a perfect life, yet he was murdered on our behalf. The Bible talks about a sacrifice that had to be made on our behalf, and Jesus did that. He had never sinned, and he took on all of humanity's sin. And that if we would put our faith and trust in him, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. His good becomes our good. And so no longer are we worried about any scales, because the scales have already been tipped in our favor because Jesus lived a perfect life. And when I put my faith in him, all his good becomes my good. The only way I can be in right standing with God is not by me trying to do good. It's by Jesus and what he's done. Because you know, if I could say, well, I did a bunch of good, who gets the glory, God or me? Me. I can't say that, but let's just pretend I did a decent life. Well, then I could say, well, look at me. I'm okay with God because of all the good I've done. No, it ain't about you, Jack. It's because we can't. You know how you ruin perfection? One imperfection. Once you have one imperfection, perfection's ruined. Until you have a complete atonement or covering of your sin through the faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So you have to turn from your sin and trust in Jesus. He paid the way. He is the Son of God. He says, I am the way. Listen, we got a whole sermon on all of these, by the way, if you want to go back. So I'm not going to give you the whole thing, but you got to put your faith and trust in Jesus. And then when you do that, you're growing and going. You're getting shaped. and to the image of Jesus. And then you want to tell people. You want to go deliver the gospel like what we're talking about right now. And you're on your way to this redemption and sanctification and being a part of God's design. We need people to go share the message. We need to share the message. And the idea is that as you talk with people and anything pops up, you can lead them in this conversation. If you deal with someone that says, man, I'm going through a really tough time right now, and you don't know where they are spiritually, start with brokenness. If you know someone's living a life of sin right now and they come to you and like, man, Dad screwed up again last night. You're in between sin and brokenness. There's all kinds of ways. Typically, you can start with brokenness because sometimes people come to you that, but you can start anywhere with that. But this is a way to share the gospel. Scatter the seed. Train yourself to listen to conversations and find ways to interject Jesus. Sow the seed. Now, it isn't your job to make sure they believe. God takes care of the soil. You scatter the seed. You sow it. Sometimes evangelism isn't about them putting their faith and trust in Jesus. Then it's getting seed there so that seed can go on seed, seed can go on seed, till eventually they believe. Sometimes your job is to get them from point two to point three instead of all the way to 10 being they give their life to Christ. Sometimes it's a journey. Sometimes you'll share and someone goes right to 10. But guess what? There were six or seven other people that shared with them along the way. Sometimes you're the first person. Sometimes you're the second, third. All that doesn't matter, though. It's not your job to worry about it. Your job is to share. I was blessed because my parents lived it out in front of me. I heard about Jesus a lot through worship services. Maybe your story isn't like that. Maybe it was someone straight up came and knocked on your door. Maybe it's through stuff like this, or maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus. I'm begging you and urging you to do that. It's time for us to sow seed. Now, as a church, one of the things that we try to put an emphasis on is 1 in 21. And honestly, I kind of failed after Easter with that. My one started ghosting me, and I think it caused me to look at his soil and think he's not ready instead of keep scattering and sowing seed. So I want us to get back to praying for our one. Maybe you've been better than me and you've continued to pray. Please pray for them. What a 1 in 21 is someone that in this year you're really praying that they would come to know Jesus, that he would prepare their soil for the seed. And if you haven't prayed for them in a while, or you don't even know someone, get someone in your mind to pray for and pray for them persistently, consistently, that they would come to know Jesus, that their soil would be prepared for the seed. And then you sow as much seed as you can. Secondly, I want to challenge you with this. Could you make it your goal from here on, at least once a week, you deliver the message, you deliver the gospel, you sow some seed? What if we could just start with once a week? I would like to say baby steps, but you know who's usually the best at sharing their faith? New believers. It's us old, crusty, mature people that sometimes get a little antiquated with our fervor and passion. If you've been a Christian a long time, it's you need to go back to being passionate about telling people about Jesus. And could you make it a goal? God, give me someone every week to share my faith. And just sow seed. Make it natural. Now, I will encourage you with this. Those three circles we had on the screen, is that seed, is it only if you go through all three circles? No. Just if you could get Jesus out and mention that he's the only way to God, how he changed your life, you're sharing the gospel. Around here, you know, a lot of times I'll say, share God's story and your story. God's story is the gospel and your story is your testimony. If you could get any of that out, you're doing a good job. Keep sowing the seed. And then let's see the Lord add to our number and let's grow as a church. Amen. All right, let's pray for these things, our ones, and that God would give us an opportunity every week to share our faith. Would you bow your heads? As Pastor Dave mentioned earlier, I don't want to be the only one praying, so you pray. Father, I pray for Derek. I pray for other names that are being thought of right now, that you would soften hearts and prepare soil. Lord, please help us to share our faith. And Lord, we're begging you to prepare the soil. It's not our job, God, so free us in that. Trying to determine if this is good soil or not. Let us just share, but we're asking you to prepare the way. Anoint us and help us. We trust you with it. Father, I pray for us as believers that each week we would step into moments where we would share our faith. And if that's seven times a week or one time a week, don't let us miss a week where we're sharing our faith. And may that increase as we continue. But let us start there. Give us those opportunities. Give us the eyes to see it and the boldness to step into it. Father, thank you for this morning. It's been a glorious time being with our faith family. In your name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.